Morning, church.
Morning.
One of the words that came up in the song were, we're going to change the world. That just kept going round and round and round in my mind. I thought, that's a declaration. And God is inviting you to say, how are you going to change the world? What does that look like for you? I had three images of balloons today, this morning. I was given a card with a balloon on. I saw the image that Mark put up, and then Holy Spirit gave me an image for the church. All of these rainbow balloons to go off from where God's going to take you. Today I'm going to talk about identity. It's a huge thing, it's a massive topic, but I'm going to do identity according to God, because God is always right. He is, even though sometimes I disagree with that. Often. So I'm going to read from 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I'm just going to unpack. It's a Passion translation. That was NIV. It just opens it up even more. But you are God's chosen treasure, people priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would be broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. And so the words that stood out to me were chosen. We are all chosen by God, handpicked by God for a reason, for a purpose. And he chose to make us, and he took pleasure in making us. And he doesn't make mistakes, even though we may feel there's part of us that we need to work on. Actually, in him, we are complete. Holy. I remember my old minister said that being holy was making wise choices every day. And that really changed the way I thought of, you know, holy as, you know, how can we be saints? And holy means sacred, divine, blessed. And the word possession, belonging to. We belong to God. He owns us. He created us. And it says that you declare the praises of him. And, you know, our identity is tied up in many things, but God said to me about praising. Often we say to God, help us. Can I do this? Can I do that? Do this for me. Do this for other people. But we don't come from a place of praise, because God doesn't need to be praised, but in a relationship, because we're relational to him, he wants to hear great things about him too, you know, because you're talking, it's a conversation, you're working together. And you come into a realization of his goodness, a grateful heart. You realize just what he's done for us. We can take it for granted what God has done for us. And so where does that put us? That's in a reminder of who God is and his love and his blessings. Our identity is wrapped up in Jesus. It says we are Christ-like. And that can be hard to believe as well. But we have that kindness, the gentleness, that love. We have the power, the authority of Jesus. And we're completely connected to him. It's all about relationship. And knowing who you are and your identity is tied up in relationship connected. It's not anything that we don't break off from Jesus. We stay with him. And called out of darkness. Darkness is the old self. That is the enemy's character, and it does not belong to you. It's not where your identity lies. In Romans 6:6, for we know our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So our old self, often the enemy will trick us and say, you know, let's be like this, let's be like that. But that's a lie. That's not who we are. that old self, we can choose not to live that way. We can choose to live for Jesus. And our old sins died when he died. He took them with us. All of our sins from the past, our sins from now, and the sins in the future. So he sees us as sinless. So you can still choose to sin, but we are sinless. That's how he sees us. He sees us as pure because he's washed us like that. And we're redeemed back before sin came. Now, Adam and Eve, our relationship with Jesus, there was no divide. We were completely connected to him in the garden. Adam and Eve and God, it was just them. Once the enemy came in, that divide came. And so imagine a land that's been split across. And there's that separation. And God brought Jesus. He sacrificed that his son so he would bridge the gap. And he is the bridge. So imagine that Jesus is the bridge and we are then connected back to God. We live in light. Darkness is fear and anger, evil. This is the enemy. This is not us. We are light, love, freedom, joy, good. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my testimony of how I lost my identity. We are who we think we are. Our reality. If we think bad things about ourselves, it's not true, but that might be our reality. And that becomes our way of thinking and our way of feeling. And then it affects our behaviour. So where do we get our identity from? Parents, friends, preachers, role models. I love films and they always speak to me. God always speaks to me through them. And I love superhero films. And that has never changed. So my identity, when God was saying, what were you like when you were a young girl? Bossy, very bossy. That's trying to change now into leadership. Now I'm working on that one. Right, telling people what to do is not helpful. Sometimes it is. But I was very independent and I was brave and I was so loving. And I would create plays with my sister and everyone who came round had to dress up and they had to be in a play. There was no choice. But that's who I was. That's who I was. I knew who I was. And I was childlike. And I've just been so humbled by seeing the children leading worship and actually following their example is a marvellous thing because they know who they are. They know who they are because it's not been taken from them yet. They know who they are. They believe in things, in dreams. They're free. As we're all, you know, conditioned, we must sit down now in church. They're walking past, about, you know, picking up what they want to do. They're moving around, they're dancing, they're chatting because they're free. They're free to be who they are. They don't have any boundaries. So then there's no boundaries between them and loving other people. And there's no boundaries between them and loving Jesus. They, children accept Jesus and they understand him much better than adults do. They're trusting and they're innocent. And they're full of wonder. And God wants us to be childlike. Says, I tell you the truth. Sorry, this is Matthew 18. So he wants our heart, young hearts, our innocent hearts. And adults, you know, they can be cynical. They can compare. Emotionally controlled. They've had to control their emotions, you know. What's wonderful when you see people in free abandonment at church and they're crying and laughing and singing and dancing, because that's what children do. And that's how God sees us. And, you know, not all adults are like that, but I'm talking in terms of things that have been unaddressed. And then our identities then wrapped up in our hurts and our disappointments and things that people have said to us. And then that goes on and that leads through our lives. and we become broken, and then we think that's our identity. That's a lie. Now, I learnt panic from my mum. She suffered with depression, but she was always very panicky. And something called borderline personality disorder, as one of the many diagnoses that I've been given, it's basically highly sensitive. So being prophetic is closely linked. So God sees me as prophetic, and then I've got this label. Now, labels can be helpful sometimes, you know, to look at into problems, things like that. But my DNA comes from heaven. It doesn't just come from my parents, it comes from heaven. My dad had severe depression and the same kind of genetic undiagnosed problems. And I, as a child, I saw my family break down. There was a divorce and lots of things happening. And that's when the anxiety started for me. But when I was dancing and singing and being free, I didn't feel any of those things. When I was painting and drawing, I was escaping into, you know, what people say, you know, in La La Land. I just say, it's Jesus Land. So I encourage you to use the imagination that God has given you, because that is going to connect you to God. And being prophetic, you see pictures, you hear words, and it's no different from if I developed that as a child, it would have, you know, really been part of my identity. So my identity was stolen. I got to the point where I couldn't be left alone. I was too frightened. And that just makes me laugh now because of how I am now and how God's identity has changed that for me, as well as, you know, love and fear, they don't go together. Love is God, and we are of God, and fear is of the enemy. And many people will say, oh, well, I'm just naturally anxious. I'm just a worrier. No, you're not. That's a lie. You think you are, and that's developed in your thought process, but you're not actually. You are free. Now, I got well when I started to think of myself how God saw me. And I stopped looking at my labels, and one of my friends said to me, why do you keep looking at your labels and holding on to that? That's not who you are. And I realised, no, it wasn't. And I encourage people to give themselves labels that God would give them, you know, wonderful words about them and who they are. And in Timothy it says, having a sound mind. And Jesus said, do not be afraid. It's actually a command. He didn't say have a go, see how it works out. He said, do not be afraid. And that means that it doesn't mean that things aren't going to be seem frightening. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go against struggle. It just means that God is with us through it all. And that if he's beside us and Jesus is with us and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, our identity is in God and what he says. And he says, be filled with love. So I went from a place of hospitalized many times to, like I said, I went for and lost every single one because I got I relapsed. I'm 4.5 years into recovery and I've never been better. But, amen. And the reason that I'm better is because I know who I am. I know who I am. And being, I did a pastoral internship and I did, I went back and I did counselling level 3. And a lot of the things that I've learned are very, very disjointed. I'm a masseuse and a hairdresser and an artist. Well, millions of things. I don't earn any money of any of them because I'm on the benefits that I'm on, they're complicated, but you're not really allowed to like earn independently. And that can leave me in a trap, except it doesn't, because God says, I will run a ministry. And I believe him. But back then, when I was unwell and couldn't leave the house, how on earth could I be doing anything like that? Oh, gosh, she's gorgeous. Hello. I want that dress. I'll speak to you after about getting one made. Now, what I knew my identity, but then when I went to college, I found out about my royal identity. And I realised that I could access heaven all the time. That actually, heaven comes down. We bring heaven down. It's not us separated. You know, Holy Spirit lives in us. And Jesus lives in heaven. We're connected. We're one. And supernatural for us has become normal. It's a way of life. So when you see children prophesying and because they've been taught the right way, they've been taught and told, don't stop imagining, don't stop being amazing. Forced, unemployed, that, you know, the list goes on benefits. But I do not judge myself by the world, because that is the world who is controlled by Satan. I judge myself how God sees me, heavenly, and I will do the things that he said I'm going to do. And I want to encourage you, nothing can stop you, but sometimes you. Sometimes you, it's stopping you, and sometimes the enemy. So I just want to remind you what I've said. And it's not what you do, it's who you are. You don't have to do anything. Your identity is not tied up in your job or being a mother. That's part of who you are, but you are who you are on your own, a complete person, without a partner. You are with Jesus. That is who you are. And so I have rainbow-tinted view. And they say rose-tinted glasses. I've got a rainbow-tinted view. And so we are forgiven. We are light. We are chosen. We belong. We are in constant connected relationship with Jesus. We are out of darkness. We are childlike. We are healed. We are royal. And we have purpose. And we were made for purpose. So I just want to say to you, God can do anything in you if you let him. Amen.
I'm going to ask you just to pray out over us as a congregation, a quick short prayer, as I ask Bimbi and Mark to come up with a few testimonies. If you want to receive what Ruth has talked about, that you are a new creation, you've been made new by Jesus, who has restored you to be the way in which you are attended, that you are a child of God. And that means if you want something, you put your hand up. If you want to receive something, you put your hands out, because it's just a sign of, please, sir, can I have some more? Think Oliver Twist. Yeah, just put your hands out. And if you just want to pray for us to be free and to be children of God.
Yeah, Lord, I just pray to release these people. I was feeling how much love there is in this room. How it made me cry. I could just feel how much love there is in this room. And I just declare over you right now that you be released from negativity, from lies, from any scheme of the enemy, because Jesus lives in you. And I just declare over you supernatural, that will become normal, to just express yourself. And be unique. God gives you permission to be unique. And he loves you and he cherishes you. And I just ask you to daily declare aloud who you are in God. He's got nothing left. And so, Lord, we thank you that we have you, that we are always, always connected to you, and that you love us so much, more than anyone can ever love us. I just pray for this church to just be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be able to do things they've never done before. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ruth.